오늘 은혜 받으실 말씀은
This scripture is Matthew chapter 3 verse 8. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Amen.
Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to them, Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we accept the Lord as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, and what happens at that time is repentance. Jesus died on the cross for us who are sinners. So we believe it in the heart and we come to repent. Some people, they roll on the floor. Some people, they repent for many days or many weeks every time they pray. But that doesn't mean we will not have to repent anymore until the Lord comes back. John chapter 13 is about Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Verse 8, Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus, to show the example of service and to let them understand about circumcision of heart, he washed their feet. And because the master was washing their feet, Peter was very embarrassed and said, Never shall you wash my feet. But if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So, well, not just my feet, but wash my hands and head also. So when senior pastor was delivering the lectures on the Gospel of John, he said, you can wait and think about, contemplate on the word of Jesus so you can understand the spiritual meaning in it. Also, because you have your manners, you know, fleshly manners. So that is why he wanted to stop Jesus. And verse 10, Jesus said to him, He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. So when you are full of the Holy Spirit, even when you are a new believer, you try to walk in the light. Not just the new believers, but if we do not forget the first grace we received. And as we keep on trying to cast away sins, you don't feel very hard to realize sins and repent and cast away sins. And we'll be living a life that is on the alert. This is the life of those who are who have bathed already. So we are clean already. At that time, disciples were not all clean. It was before Jesus took the cross, before they received the Holy Spirit. So they made a lot of mistakes. They were lacking in many things. And yet Jesus said, You have already bathed and you are clean. But it doesn't mean they were completely sanctified. But even so, even though we are not completely sanctified, if we try to practice the word of God, being on the alert, then God considers that we are clean. Because He believes that we will someday become completely sanctified as we keep on trying to do that. But suppose after accepting the Lord, if we deliberately commit sins, God doesn't say we are clean and we are bathed. Later, Jesus said, but not all of you. Not all of them was clean, referring to Judas Iscariot. But in other churches, they quote this kind of verse, saying, once we accept the Lord, we are saved. And we are saved forever. So even if we commit sins, we are saved. But that's not true. Of course, when we accept the Lord, we are forgiven of sins. And because of that grace, we try to not commit sins any longer. And we try to change ourselves. It's very different from a life where they deliberately commit sins, willfully commit sins. So as we are forgiven, we try not to commit sins any longer. And we have to be on the alert and pray and try to realize ourselves. And because we are trying, God considers us clean, believing that we will someday become sanctified. So when we try to become sanctified in our religious life, Christian life, sometimes we have original sins, sinful natures. So that's why we try to cast them away, repent. This is what it means by washing the feet. So, after coming back home in the evening, the feet might be the dirtiest part of the body. Suppose you came back home in the evening before those who can go home and have dinner before Daniel prayer meeting. You can, probably you can wash your feet at least. Because you took a shower in the morning, but you don't say, probably you can wash your feet before coming to Daniel prayer meeting. Or because some people, they take off their shoes and they try to kneel on the pews. So maybe you at least try to change your socks. Suppose you have a very important meeting in the evening, because even though you can't take a shower, at least you try to change your socks or wash your feet. So if we understand the love of the Lord, we don't willfully commit sins, but we try to change ourselves. Then as long as we try in this way, God considers us good, and He believes that we will someday change. But it doesn't mean we don't have anything to repent of, because we have original sinful natures. We commit flesh, things of the flesh, works of the flesh. So every time we repent, and we realize ourselves, and try to circumcise our heart. So this is what it means by washing our feet. So you wash your feet as often as possible in between your showers. So this is in our Christian lives, we look back on ourselves through the Word, and if there is anything lacking, we repent and regret. And so you shouldn't be so burdened about repentance. If you're lacking in some way, you wash your feet. If you committed some grave sins, we can't say you're washing your feet. Because you have to rend your heart. You have to tear your heart and really repent with tears. But these things, they are kind of minor sins, or minor something shortages, shortcomings. So you can look back on yourselves, and whatever is lacking, you can wash your feet. You can just repent and keep on going. So this is what it means by to wash our feet. So unless you committed a very grave sin, because of some things of the flesh, fleshly thoughts, and these things that come out from your original sinful natures, you try to repent. But if there is a grave sin that you committed, you have to really rend your heart, and as a sinner before God, you have to really repent. According to the gravity of the sin, magnitude of the sin, your repentance has to be different.
And
about
the...
But that doesn't mean you have to really repent only about the sins, grave sins, sins leading to death. Even for small things, you can really repent from your heart. Then you can go into spirit very quickly. Also in the Bible about the Bible doesn't only warn us against about sins leading to death, and that we have to repent thoroughly. But also, if we just change our mind in our Christian life, if we become lukewarm, if we lose the first love, then we really have to thoroughly repent. In Revelations, there are messages toward the seven churches. And all the six churches except the Church of Philadelphia, they received a rebuke. And these churches are also about churches, but they can also be applied individually to us. That we have to build the temple in our heart. So as the temples of the Lord, we should be able to check ourselves against these messages toward the seven churches. Let me just mention two verses about which parts that you have to repent of. Otherwise, I will spit you out, cast away, and forsake you. So unless it is a sins leading to death. Suppose you committed a sin, although it's not the sins leading to death, and you repented, you try to repent, but if there is something that is if you have something trouble, if you, then you can think about this case. Revelation 2:5 says, therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. As you know very well, Jesus was telling us to recover the first love. Even though we didn't commit grave sins, if we lost the first love, and even though we pray, if you don't have the fervor, if you're not passionate enough, enthusiastic enough, then it becomes a problem. So God is warning us against such a case. So we have to check whether we are in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Or although it is not a sin leading to death, we didn't maybe repent thoroughly enough. Revelation 3:19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So he's warning us against lukewarm Christian life. Unless we are hot, he will spit us out of his mouth. Suppose we have become lukewarm. And about this lukewarm faith, if we don't repent, if you think of my level of faith is not growing, then you may be able to consider this kind of case. Even though you didn't commit sins leading to death, maybe you fall into this category. There are sins leading to death and minor sins, relatively. But in any case, you have to feel the sins are grave and repent thoroughly for any sin so you can grow in faith very quickly. Not just sins leading to death, but being lukewarm, losing the first love, all these things. I hope you will look back and try to repent. And if you committed sins leading to death, for which there is no forgiveness, then we really have to repent. If you have faith and you have church duties, and yet if you love the world and willfully commit sins, how embarrassed have you felt? How sorry have you been? And this is what you have to consider. Through the sacrifice of the shepherd, the way of repentance is opened, but forgiveness comes down to each person differently, according to how you repent. If you don't do your part, maybe you can be saved, but you can't really take hold of a better heavenly dwelling place by force. So do not think repentance is something hard, but it is something that can make you clean. So whenever you have time to repent, you will repent of all kinds of sins so that you can be completely clean. Until when do you have to keep on repenting? There are stages where you don't have to repent at all. You practice the word of God completely. You can be bold before, confident before God. Then there are only, when you look back on yourself, there are only things to give thanks for. So until we reach that kind of level, we always have to keep on looking back on us and change ourselves. So this is not something burdensome. Even the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the members about the repentance and said that that repentance cleaned them. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 to 11 says, "But though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. I caused you sorrow by my letter," it means, for pastors and leaders, it's not something easy to point out sins of the members, of the believers. You have to, you know, we come to, we have, I become very careful. They are very careful as to whether the believers accepted the advice or not. So even the Apostle Paul, he was kind of sorry that he caused them sorrow. But I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that that letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you are made sorrowful to the point of repentance. But you are made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. But the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. Suppose you are saved, but there are many regrets. Oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have cast away this sin so that I could go to a better heavenly dwelling place. Maybe if you didn't know anything about the Word of God, then maybe you're just thankful. But you have heard already that you have to cast away sins, burn all the original sinful natures. You can pass the rock of faith into spirit and also Holy Spirit, and you can fill up the deficiencies and shortages. And even you heard about the even deeper level in the Holy Spirit, taking after the image of God. But you didn't obey. You lived in sins. You repented, but you just stopped committing sins, but you didn't really get rid of sins themselves. So now you are saved, and you went into a lower heavenly dwelling place. And you feel sorry. You feel kind of embarrassed. So regretting doesn't mean there is no gratitude. But you are thankful. You are grateful. But you can think, you will still think, I should have tried harder. I should have completely repented and got cleansed so that I could enjoy more things in heaven. So repentance should be done. Regrets must be done on this earth, not in heaven. So it produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. But behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. So true repentance, rending your heart. You think, oh, why did I do this? Why did I commit such an evil? And what if I can't be saved because of this sin? When you are insensitive to sins, you are not afraid. But as you repent, and if you become sensitive towards sins, and you feel that I could have lost my salvation, and you have the desire, earnestness, to change yourself more quickly. And also, you might also condemn yourself. But doing all these things, you come to true repentance. You don't feel it's something burdensome. And that kind of sorrow leads to repentance of God, so that you can be cleansed I believe you are spending this kind of time in the Daniel prayer, special Daniel prayer meetings, because the Holy Spirit reminds you of the past wrongdoings and you repent of them. And you might have thought because you don't commit sins any longer, it's okay, but you still have the sinful natures. And now you realize those sinful natures and you pray to get rid of them. And it means you are doing well if you are doing this. So, this way you are becoming more and more cleansed. So if you come to a true repentance, then you will come to hate sins. So you won't feel that sanctifying yourself is something hard. And in order to produce the bear fruit in keeping with repentance, secondly, you must not commit the sins that you committed before. And on top of that, you must cast away the sinful natures too. So as long as you have the sinful natures in you, you don't know when you will commit the sins again. So it's kind of unstable. By the grace of God, you stopped committing sins and we repented and you stopped committing sins. But you can't go on to the next level of faith unless you cast away sinful natures. Some people say, well, I repented and I don't commit sins any longer. But sometimes you show the actions out of those sinful natures, although you are not committing grave sins. So it means you are kind of unstable. Oh, they shouldn't stop praying. Maybe they will go back to the world. So about the sins that you committed, grave sins that you committed, it's not enough just to stop sinning, but you have to cast away the sinful natures of it as well. As long as you have the roots of the sin, when you're at peace, when you're at comfort, when you're at ease, when you stop praying, you might commit the same sin again. So you shouldn't be at ease about toward the kind of sinful nature, the root of sin. So until you cast away the sinful nature itself, the root of the sin itself, you have to keep on trying. You wouldn't really see when you really cast away the roots of it. But the Holy Spirit will let you know. Maybe in a situation where you used to show evil or the sinful nature on the outside, you don't do it anymore. Also, you are practicing goodness and the truth, which is opposite of sinful nature. Then, in any case, then, but I'm not telling you to be always be unstable and feel nervous, but you should have the determination and you have to be on the alert not to commit the same sins again.
자 그런데 어떤 성도는 사함받지 못할 죄에 대해 용서를
Some people they were thankful when they were forgiven of grave sins leading to death. But after some time they are not really careful about sins. They're not cautious and sometimes they go back to sinning again.
그것도 사망에 이르는 죄인데.
Especially sins leading to death, unforgivable sins. And they repeatedly commit those sins. Even this past Lunar New Year holidays. Also, December 25th, the senior pastor prayed for us for our forgiveness, and in the Lunar New Year, he offered a peace offering to God. And those who came, those who repented after 2010 and committed sins again, and they were nervous, but because there was a chance of repentance again and they received the forgiveness. So they are happy. But being happy is not everything. You have to be on the alert about your sinful natures and you have to keep on casting away sinful natures. That is why you have to be praying all the time. So when you are not on the alert and when you stop praying, your sinful natures might come up and it might be revealed on the outside. Sometimes you have the good feelings about sins. And because of those good feelings, you commit the same sin again. You say you want to cast away the original sinful nature. And if you do, I'm telling you the ways to do so. You can also check yourselves as to whether your repentance was really complete. You can check whether you have a good feeling about sins or bad feelings about sins. You know in your head that the sin is bad, but you have to really check your feelings so that you can quickly cast away sins. And you can understand that this is not true repentance, and you have to bear the fruit of repentance. Let me give you an example. Suppose you are watching adult materials, obscene things. Then the adultery, lust in your heart will increase, and you can't ever cast away lust from your heart. So because of the Word of God, you try not to see those things again. And sometimes you change your smartphones and things like that. But after some time, your determination diminishes, and you go back to watching them again. Because you have wrong feelings and wrong thoughts about obscene things. Some people are addicted. So to cut them off with prayer, you have to have this kind of feeling. Good. In the past, in the world, you might have thought there's nothing wrong with it. You're not committing adultery. It's just your momentary pleasure. And by yourself, you're not really committing adultery anywhere. And you're kind of covering it up as gift wrapping it. I'm sorry, men's mission members. In the world, unbelievers, it's kind of, they think it's just a freedom. You know, adults, they are grown-up adults, and there's nothing wrong with watching those things. So when you listen to the message, you think it's something bad. And when you go back to the world, senior pastor is not in front of you telling you it's bad. It's not like that. So as you have the desire, and because you have good feelings about these things, and all these things, they try to control you. So what do you have to do in this case, in this kind of situation? You have to change these feelings through prayers. In order not to commit adultery, I just watched this thing to not to commit adultery. Actually, if you were justifying yourself thinking like that, then you have to change your thoughts. No. But you don't try to do that. But you just, oh, this is bad. So please, don't. Please let me not watch this. Because you feel it's out of sense of duty. So you're kind of forced to do it. But being on the alert is okay, but you still have the good feelings about sins. You know it is sin. But you have good feelings about sins. Because it's in your body, in your heart. So when your caution goes away, when you stop praying, this good feeling comes up. So you want to watch it again. So you do actually watch it. And you have to change your thoughts about, you have to change these good feelings and good thoughts about sins into bad feelings and bad thoughts. So that you'll be able to stop these things. These feelings are so important. Especially when we go to those countries, especially Southeast Asia. There are some people who eat the things that are so disgusting for us, especially some insects. Just by seeing this photo, they feel disgusted. They are worms. And they are for food. On a very nice plate. And these things are insects. And they're actually, they raise, sometimes they farm these insects so people can have them. The tour guides, they may explain, it's not something dirty. They farm them, they raise them in a clean environment. It's full of protein and everything. Would you be able to eat them? Because we have these feelings. We hate these things. It's not easy. to take them. Maybe sometimes who like to take up challenges, they might try. Maybe with a lot of, making a lot of facial expressions. It's okay, maybe, they say. But it's not easy to just eat. Because as we have been living here, our feelings toward these things are, they are something dirty, something disgusting, these insects, and something fearful even, especially for women. And because we have these feelings, just by seeing them, we feel disgusted. And you hear this noise. That's the kind of feeling we have to have about sins, especially about the grave sins that we committed, sins leading to death especially. Oh, God says it's sin, so, oh yes, it's sin. Oh, God says it's bad, it's the way to hell, so, oh, I have to repent. You shouldn't feel this way, just this way. But you really have to feel disgusted about sins. How about adult materials, obscene things? This is something. The enemy devil made this kind of thing to give rise to lust. You know, these people, they want to make money out of these things. So Satan instigates these people to make these things, sell them, and because they have lust in them, adulterous mind, so they watch them and they feel satisfied and they like it, they like it, so once and twice they watch these things and they actually also commit sins. But in reality, in spirit, it's the scheme of the devil. And in news, you can see that most sex offenders, they are obsessed with adult materials. So once you are addicted, you can't be satisfied just by watching. That is why they go out and actually commit these sins. Those people, they don't feel guilty. But they are so stained by these things. So by watching obscene things, you are lost. Is increasing, but you think, oh, I'm not committing sins. If you think this way, it's not acceptable. So, you have to change this kind of feeling and this kind of thoughts. You have to reset this kind of thinking. Because you want to be a true child of God, and you shouldn't give in to the scheme of the devil. And you have to think about the harms that the obscene things are doing to you. You have to change these feelings to dirty, filthy feelings about those things. And you can even cast away the original sinful natures too. Suppose you have hatred. You hate somebody. And in most cases, they think about other people. They don't forget what they've done to you, the bad things they have done to you. And you try to get rid of hatred, remembering all those things, then you can't really cast away hatred. You still remember the harm or the bad things they did to you. And you pray, oh, they gave me a hard time. Father God, they gave me a hard time. Please let me forget. But this is not right. This is not right prayer. You have to change into good feelings, good thoughts, so that you can cast away hatred. But you still remember the feelings, the offended feelings. And so you can't really cast away hatred. If you see that person, you are reminded of that incident all the time. And you have to change your thoughts. Suppose that person hit you. And how can you change your feeling? How can you change your thoughts? You have to think of the goodness of the Lord. Jesus was not beaten just once or twice. He suffered such great sufferings that being hit once cannot even begin to compare, even by evil people. So did Jesus complain? No, he rather interceded for them. And if you think about this kind of a goodness of the Lord, then you can understand that your suffering was nothing compared to the sufferings of Jesus. So you can compare your situation with goodness. So that your hurt feelings, offended feelings, it's nothing compared to those sufferings of the Lord. Then you can pray, you can apply goodness into your life, and you can realize that your hard feelings, and resentment, you can change these feelings into good feelings. Oh, Lord, you can pray. Oh, the Lord suffered so much and still He loved even evil people. And there's no, the word forgiveness is not even necessary. But I'm so evil that, why did I think that I was offended? Why did I think I suffered because of those people? And if you offer up this kind of a good prayer, then you're thinking that you are offended, you are harmed. All these feelings and thoughts will be changed. And you will consider them nothing. It's nothing. So you can even cast away this original hatred. It's about the things of the flesh, evil in you. You have to change the feelings into good feelings according to the truth. This is narrow-mindedness. This is, I'm being a... And you have to change these feelings into good feelings so that you can more quickly cast away sinful natures. Suppose you had some physical contact between men and women, and you repent, and I loved him. When you are tempting somebody, you say, oh, I love you, you buy them gifts, and you say you're beautiful and pretty and everything, and you feel like you are loved by the man. And you, when you had physical contact, and you felt good about it, and you still have good feelings about it, and, oh, I committed this work of the flesh, and I don't want to do it again, and please forgive me. And you don't commit such sins again, but you still have good feelings when you remember it. Oh, that man loved me. And this is very dangerous. Actually, you might be hanging on a thread. So you have to change this thinking. It's not that he loved you and he tempted you. It's not that he loved me, but he was leading you to hell. And he was like, oh, let us, you and I, go to hell together. You have to feel this way. Unless you are awakened, unless the senior pastor awakened you, I could have gone to hell. I could have committed sins and gone to hell. You have to have this kind of feeling. The shepherd warned against us so much again and again. But I was deceived. I was tempted. And I wanted to be tempted. And I have this kind of a lust. I love. I have this kind of desire for men. So you have to change these feelings. And you have to feel that you were pathetic. And you love the men and you love lust. So you have to change these feelings into bad feelings so that you can actually and quickly cast away even the original sinful nature. So those who are trying to be changed, even though there is no problem of between men and women, sometimes they say that they have dreams. In a dream, maybe suppose there is a celebrity, a man, and he's trying to hold my hand, he's being nice to me, but and in their heart, they like it. And after waking up, do you feel good about it? No, of course you don't feel good about it, because you know that you still have this kind of desire, this kind of lust. So, in the dream, the man was tempting me and I was tempted very quickly. So you pray hard and you try to cast away the adulterous mind. And next time, when you have a dream when somebody was tempting you, you don't like it. You don't want to accept it. So you feel that it's good. You feel that you cast away the lust, sinful natures. Before you commit any grave sin, you have to be on the alert. After you commit sins, it's too late. Some people, toward the people of persons of opposite sex, their voice and their attitude change. then you have to understand that you got to change this kind of thing too.
주의하고 근본에 있는 죄성까지 버리려고 힘써 기도해야 다시 죄짓지 않는 것이고 그리고 이제 죄 없다 칭함 받을 수 있는 것입니다.
So that you have to cast away these things so that you can be considered as sinless. Explain that you have to repent from the heart. And about if you change the feeling, you can actually cast away the sinful nature. Because you feel that you have to cast it away. You can never commit the sin in action. So you have to have the correct thought and correct feeling about sins. Suppose you have envy, jealousy, and you think this is not something big. You are jealous. You are envious. You envy somebody. Oh, this is a nature of hatred. And you have to feel, oh, this is not acceptable. You have to try to cast it away. But you think, oh, I'm just envying somebody. Somebody is being praised and I feel a bit hard and I lack many things. That's it. Then you're not going to be able to change yourself. When you face difficulties, you complain. You think then you have to repent of it. But you just think, oh, I'm not really bright. So whatever evil you have in your heart, especially if you committed sins leading to death before, then what kind of feeling do you have about it? You have to check. You have to feel that, oh, there's something that could lead me to hell. I hate it so much. And even if it's not the sin itself, but if it's just the form of it, and if I have this, I can commit sins again. I may commit sins again. So you have to have different feeling about sins so that you can really, really be on the alert. When you listen to the message, you feel it's hard, it's bad. But in your life, I'm better than unbelievers, and if you are at ease, that's not something desirable. If you have that kind of thinking, then even though you pray, you can't really change yourself. And when you're not on the alert, you might go back to sinning again as well. What is thankful? And because of the peace offering that the senior pastor offered for us, we can really repent from the heart. We can be relieved. I mean, we can feel refreshed. And many people are saying this. There was a senior elderly person when he was doing business when he was young. Sometimes he was cheating the customers. He was bringing his employees badly. Suppose when you're selling cloth, you know, when you are measuring the cloth, you cheat these things to the customer. You kind of cheat them. But even when he was listening to these messages, he didn't really repent. And it was because he was accustomed to it. You know, everybody else is doing it. So he didn't really repent of these things. Also, he was sometimes cheating the employees, or he was giving a hard time to his employees, but he didn't repent thoroughly. But in this special Daniel prayer meeting, he was reminded of all these things, and he really repented with tears. He realized that it was great, grave sin. And he's over 70 now. He remembered all these things. When he did what he did when he was young. Maybe he had this wall of sin, but he couldn't realize it himself. But because of the peace offering of the shepherd, now he came to realize that he did wrong. And he realized it, really. So his sins could be forgiven. So through this thorough repentance, he can be forgiven before God. Even though we forget about it, even though we didn't consider it seriously. We can be reminded of these things and we can be forgiven. This is the grace being given. This grace of repentance is not given freely, but because of the tears and sacrifice of the shepherd. I hope we will be really thankful and repent from the heart. The repentance is not something of a formality. Just because other people say you can't receive blessings unless you repent. But you really have to feel in your heart that this was something really bad. And I did it. So that's why you are sorry and you burst into tears and you really want to repent and turn back. This is true repentance. But even though you make up your mind not to commit sins again, as long as you have sinful natures in you, you can't be complete again. So even though you're not committing sins for the moment, you have to really try hard to cast away the sinful natures themselves, the roots of it. Suppose there is a thief. After repenting, you don't steal anymore. But when you see something, some other possessions of other people, you don't want to take them. You want to steal them. And what do you have to do? You have to control yourself with prayers. I must never, and I must never steal again. So you're nervous, and you try. And you try to control yourself. You try to control your desire. But how can you live like this forever, for the rest of your life? If somebody has something good, you want to take it. In the past, you'd have stolen it already. But you try to control yourself all the time. How can you live like this? It's so hard. That is why you have to cast away the sinful nature yourself. You have to cast away the desire, lust of the eyes, you know, desire to steal. You have to cast away these sinful natures themselves. Greed. And you have to understand how this greed is shown outside. So you have to also pray about this in detail. It's not like you commit a grave sin overnight. All these little things are piled up and then you come to commit a grave sin. So on the contrary, when you repent and come back to truth, you have to realize these little things and repent of them. Even when you steal something, you feel, you envy. Oh, that person has something good. If you don't have greed, you don't envy. You don't envy them for having great things. You are satisfied with what you have. Because you have greed, you envy what other people have. So you try to have that. And because there is no other way to have it, you steal it. Suppose now you stopped stealing, but now deep in your heart, you realize that you have the greed. You want to take, you're not satisfied with what you have. So all these things caused me to steal, to commit this grave sin. So you have to realize these little thoughts, little desires. So you have to repent of them. So if you envy what other people have, you have to repent of it too. Oh, you don't steal anymore, so you don't have anything to repent of? That's not true. In the past, you stole, but now you don't steal anymore. But now you have to realize the desire, the greed that caused you to steal. So you have to get rid of this greed. You have to get rid of your envy. All these things are related. They are one team. So when you have this kind of greed, you have to repent of it too. And Father, I have this greed. Please forgive me. And this greed will grow up, will grow and cause me to commit sins. So you realize it and you repent of it. Every day you have to repent of it and cast it away so that you can actually you can actually cast away the sinful nature yourself. But you say, oh, Father, please let me cast away greed and theft and all these things. But you don't pay attention to these little feelings that you have. You're not cautious toward these things, against these things. And you don't try to cast away these little things. Because every time these little feelings come up, you try to suppress them. But in order to stop these things from coming up, you can just cast away the sinful nature yourself. You can be satisfied. You're not satisfied with what you have. It means, in other words, you don't have hope for heaven. So you have to find these things, realize these things, and you have to repent of them. And you can cast away these things from the bottom, from the root. And you're not going to steal at all. So you have to work on these sinful natures so that you can bear the fruit of repentance. And you can cast away the sinful natures from the root and become sanctified. This was just an example. Before the stealing comes up, what kind of changes of mind you might go through? You shouldn't just pray when it is agitated. Yesterday, you had desire to steal. You wanted to have it. Today, you might not. And you don't pray today. And from tomorrow it comes up again. I prayed yesterday and I thought I cast it away, but it's coming up again. It doesn't mean you cast it away just by praying once. Sinful nature cannot be thrown away just by one-time prayer. You have to keep on praying. You have to store up prayers. It might have happened yesterday, but it might not happen today. But you have to be still on the alert that today as well. And you have to pray today as well, that you have to remember that you had such feelings yesterday. So you have to keep on piling up this kind of prayer day after day, so that finally the sinful nature will come up, be pulled out. So the most important effort to cast away sins from the root is your prayer. You have to keep on praying constantly, because you can't cast away sins with your own effort. You have to receive the grace of God, the strength of God, and to bring down the help and grace of God. Grace and strength of God, you have to pray fervently. Without fervent prayers, you can't receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. In the past, you have to look back whether you lived in this way. Suppose, the shepherd opened the way of forgiveness through his prayers. So you didn't commit, so you stopped sinning. But you didn't really burn the sinful natures through fervent prayers. You said you were praying, but you were doing meaningless repetitions and you were dozing off and you didn't have earnestness. And so after 1 or 2 years, I'm not saying you were not fervent all the time, but mostly you are not fervent. So this kind of sinful nature, they don't stay there. Or also you don't commit sins now, but you can't be confident before God because of the sinful natures. But after being forgiven, after 1 or 2 years, to cast away sins you have been trying, 1 or 2 years, and now even though somebody is giving you a hard time, your sinful natures don't come up. So you have nothing to be afraid of. Now you can be confident. You really tried hard, and you really tried hard to cast away sinful natures too. So you have actually cast away sinful natures, so you can be confident before God. But even though you don't commit sins, if you didn't really try hard to cast away sinful natures themselves, and even though you're praying now, you can't really be confident before God. So there's not much blessings or answers to your prayers. It is slow. So this is the reason why that sometimes you don't cast away sinful natures even though you're praying. So if you, in this special Daniel prayer meeting, just by praying a little bit, we are receiving this fire. So this fire, we shouldn't be receiving just during the special Daniel prayer meeting, but also until the Lord comes back. So until we take after the image of God completely, we have to be receiving this kind of a fire. Of course, we will not commit sins again. But until we go into spirit and old spirit, we will feel that it's not hard. It will be like a highway to bear the fruit of repentance and to change quickly. Thirdly, you have to practice goodness and truth, which is opposite of the sins and evil that you used to commit. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. We were forgiven of sins by the blood of the Lord. And if we walk in the darkness again, are we cleansed? No. We are still in sins. Even though we walked in the darkness before, if we repent thoroughly and if we walk in the light, we will be cleansed of all sin. Ephesians 5:8 says, For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you repented of the darkness that you used to commit in the past, now we have to walk as children of light. This is true repentance. God wants us to go to the east, but we used to go to the west, darkness. Now we have to repent. And we turned back. And you are going to the west, and you stopped to try to turn back. But stopping doesn't mean it's complete. You have to turn away. You have to come back to the east. Okay, you turned around, and you are looking toward east, but that's not it. You have to start walking toward east. This is true repentance. God is God of forgiveness. God forgives us when we turn away. But if after repenting, if we don't really turn away, we can't really say we are completely forgiven. When we turn away, we are forgiven. But if we commit sins again, it means we are going to the west again. So the sin is more grave. God wants us to turn away. And also God wants us to go to the east, which is goodness and light. Ezekiel 18:21-22 says, But if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. So this wicked man, he was to be put to death because he committed so many sins. God says, you're going to die. Not physical death, but spiritual death, hell. But even though he was such an evil person, but if this person turns and observes all God's statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him. But you had sins. You must make God not remember at all. It shouldn't be like, oh, God forgave me, but I'm not sure if he remembers it or not. Sometimes he remembers because you didn't depart from sins completely yet. Even though you are not willfully committing those sins again, you are unstable, you are shaky. And God wouldn't really forget. God cannot say. So, what do you have to do? You can just practice justice and righteousness. Then, all the transgressions will not be remembered. Against him, because of his righteousness, which he has practiced, he will live. Now you used to hit others, but now you stopped hitting. That's okay, but that's not everything. You have to practice goodness. You have to practice righteousness. God remembers this, so that he will not remember his transgressions in the past. So what does God remember about you? He forgot about the sins that you committed. But now, there's nothing good about you that he can remember. In the sight of God, he feels sorry. Because this is not really true turning away. Because you are not really bearing the fruit of repentance. So now you have to try to produce the fruit that can give joy to God. God can remember that you repented of your past sin. But if you practice goodness, righteousness, justice, then he will remember only these things and he will forget about your transgressions in the past completely. I think you might have thought very often. You might want to start all over again in a new place because you want to forget about all the things. You lacked a lot of things. You had many failures. So where there's nobody who knows you, maybe you want to start all over again. And all those people will remember only good things about you. So we can do that in before God too. We can just practice truth, righteousness, injustice. Ephesians 4:28 says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather, this is repentance, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. So those who are stealing, they didn't work hard to gain something. Now they have to turn from those ways and performing with his own hands what is good. Now he must labor so that he will have something to share with one who has need. When they practice goodness, this is true repentance, true fruit of repentance. It was the case with Zacchaeus, chief tax collector. He climbed the tree to see Jesus, and Jesus saw his longing, and he said, I will stay the night in your house. So when he visited his house, Zacchaeus, he wanted to please Jesus. He said in Luke 19:8, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Chief tax collector, because they were collecting tax, they could have defrauded somebody. You know, with force. So many people, they hated these tax collectors. And he used to do it sometimes. And even though Jesus didn't say anything, he said, I have defrauded anyone of anything. I will give back four times as much, and I will sell half of my possessions and give to the poor. So this is the true repentance. That is why Jesus went to his house, and he said, salvation has come upon this household tonight. This is true repentance. So say you repented and you don't commit the past sins any longer, so it's okay. That's not true. You have to practice goodness. You have to do good, which is opposite of sin. Suppose you borrowed from somebody and you didn't pay it back, it caused harm. You caused damage to that person. So you have to repent before God, and you have to apologize to that person too. You have to feel sorry to them. And you have to pay it back. But without paying it back, you just say, I'm sorry. I will not do it again. This can't be considered true repentance. Even between people, it's like that. And even between man and God, God and us, we have to repent and then follow the good way. Of course, we have to stop doing the bad things and evil things, and we have to practice goodness. This is to bear the fruit of repentance. So you are working hard for the kingdom of God, but you are complaining, so that is why you are not on the rock of faith, and now you repent of it. So now what do you have to do? Those who used to complain, now you stop complaining. Is this it? No. Now you have to give thanks. Now you have to praise others. Ephesians 4:29 says, Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it'll give grace to those who hear. Before, you used to say some offending words. Oh, they always insist upon their own ideas, their own opinions. And now you stop complaining. But this is also making others uncomfortable. Maybe there's something, maybe cause them to did they offend him or something like that? But now, rather than just stop closing your mouth, you have to praise others. You have to speak good words. This is true repentance. Ephesians 5:4 says, And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now you have to turn and rather giving you have to give thanks. So if you used to judge and condemn, of course you must stop it. But rather now you have to have more of trust in the shepherd, working hard for the church. You have to remember the love of the shepherd in our heart, and you have to give thanks every day, and you have to try to resemble his, take after his example. Now you close your ears and close your mouth, and that's not it. If you really repented, You have to pray that you want to feel the goodness of the shepherd. And also you caused difficulty in the church. And you want to pay it back. You have to make it up by your faithfulness, by your voluntary words. If you used to hate, you must stop hating. But also you have to begin to love him back. This is true repentance. If you have this kind of a good deeds, then it means you are bearing the proper fruit of repentance. And you'll be able to go into spirit and Holy Spirit quickly. On December 25th, 2010, and during the suspension period in 2013, there was great repentance. So, since then, you didn't commit sins. But have you really tried to bear the fruit of repentance that I mentioned just now? Have you really tried and not gone into spirit yet? I believe there is none. If you really repented and not commit sins again, but I believe you didn't really sacrifice yourself, produced good fruits, you know, praised others, you didn't commit sin, you didn't pass judgment and condemnation, but rather you were touched when you saw something good. If you really have been producing this kind of fruit, although your sins were so grave in the past, you are forgiven, so you means you were going the way toward Holy Spirit. But if you didn't really try to cast away the sinful natures, if you didn't really follow the way of goodness, then it means you didn't really bear the fruit of repentance properly, completely. So that is why your growth in faith was slow. It's not because you can't do it, but you might want to consider that in these regards, you didn't try hard enough. You have to admit the fact that you lacked your effort and you lacked the love and trust in the shepherd. And I hope you will be able to change yourself in this regard. Nowadays, let me conclude the message. Nowadays, I'm happy to see the students. When they were invited to the prayer house of the senior pastor, last year they were just happy. But after visiting, they remembered the love of the shepherd and they wanted to pay it back. And they were trying hard. And in this year, through the peace offering that the shepherd offered, they were strengthened again, once again. So the students, they are being changed very quickly. And I hear many testimonies. A certain student, he was playing a lot of video games on the smartphone, so he changed it into a phone which doesn't have internet connection. But he just didn't throw away the smartphone, but he sometimes played it on the phone. But after winter retreat for the students, he broke this smartphone with which he used to play games sometimes. And now he is even more fervent in his prayers. And through the special Daniel prayer meetings, the students, they received other tongue and they asked their moms to listen to them speaking in other tongue. And when they gather together, they talk about speaking in other tongues and they talk about prayers, and they were invited in the past. Last year they were invited, they weren't changed, so senior pastor had to scratch even more. But now they want to change themselves. And this is all very lovely. So how could they change very quickly? Because they felt love of the shepherd and they were thankful and they could change. The Father God wants us to love Him. That is why we want to cast away sins. We want to cultivate goodness. This is the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with us, We want to cast away sins out of our love for Him. We shouldn't think it is hard until when we have to repent. It's hard to repent. But God has prepared beautiful heaven. And He wants us to live with us there forever. And I hope you will feel this love of God. that when we try to cast away sins, when we try to repent, it's not something hard, but it'll be a way of happiness. I hope we'll all try to feel the love of the shepherd and change ourselves and become joy of God. Let us pray together, think about the message.
아버지 기뻐하심의 열매들로 우리를 나오기 위하여 이와 같이 회개에 합당한 열매로 말씀을 드렸습니다. 더 변화로만 이루어 나갈 수 있는 능력으로 함께 하시고 깊이 깨우치고 깨달아 아버지 기뻐하심의 성도들로 변화되게 하여 주옵소서. 감사드리며 우리 주 예수 그리스도.
Thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
영상을 통한 당회장님 환자 기도를
받겠습니다. Receive senior pastor's prayer. Please lay your hands on your sick part. If you're not sick, please lay your hands on your chest and receive the prayer for your desiring heart.
Hallelujah.
Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away, let light come. Please scourge all the abdominal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases and all inflammations, go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated disc, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let their ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let no scar remain. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, force, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let them all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problem. With the fiery words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels in your blazing eyes, protect them, all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or eat in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.